Richie Havens with Darkness, Darkness. It was written by Jesse Colin Young and recorded by the Youngbloods for their 1969 album, Elephant Mountain. Havens covered the song on his 1994 album, Cuts to the Chase. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I wonder what we're going to be talking about today. Oh, yes, that small matter of the possible impeachment of Donald Trump. Well, we have talked about this, and I wanted to emphasize to you how naturally intelligent we are. And we don't always have to wait for instruction by people with specialized knowledge. We could see what is happening. We could make sense of what is happening. So that's what we ought to do. We can sit and have a chat and come out of that discussion with a lot of important information that tells us what is this relationship we supposedly have between the apparatus of government and us? What is it? So finally, Nancy Pelosi steps forward. Her Royal Highness steps forward and makes it known that, yes, the Democratic Party is within its rights to proceed with an investigation of possible impeachment of the President of the United States. This is after months of discussing this proposition with her and her resisting for no reason other than, well, she says it was going to be too traumatic and too emotional a process for the people to handle. You know, the people who have no way of controlling their emotions. Yeah, she's looking out for us. And all kinds of reasons as to why this was not the right way to go. And we still don't know whether it is the right way to go. However, we have to see things in context. What was supposed to be the alternative, according to Ms. Pelosi? Sit and wait. Hurry up and wait. Meanwhile, Trump has turned everything upside down, both within the United States and outside of it. There isn't anything practically that is stable or that is running smoothly. It's a fight. It's threats. He's threatening to do this to this country. He's threatening to do that to that country. And this is how we've been living. It was as if Trump was not to be touched under any circumstances. In fact, that is the very position of James Comey, former FBI director, who says, you know, it really shouldn't be. We shouldn't have him under some kind of strict investigation like this. We shouldn't be talking impeachment of Donald Trump. We should see it through, let it play through. All these silly ideas. And that is because these people occupy a certain level in life where they have protection. They have enough money stashed away. They have a job that pays well. They have consultancies that pay well. And they believe, well, even if it comes to the worst, we could weather the storm. But that's not the feeling of average people out here. Average people are very concerned about what is happening to this country. And we've been talking about Trump's bizarre behavior and his ineptness as the leader of this country for at least 2.5 years now. So it's not like people are rushing to judgment. There's something very, very wrong in this country. And there appeared to have been no practical approach to solving it. The president isn't listening to anybody. He's doing whatever he wants. His entire administration had adopted exactly the same mindset. We are in charge. You can do whatever we want. You can't do a thing about it. And we start talking about, you know, he goes around and hugs a flag and he talks about this great country which he never served, ever, nor have his sons. But they think up all these ways to wage war, create catastrophes, so that other people's children can go and die. We were in crisis. We still are in crisis. And Nancy Pelosi, okay, you are the House Speaker, fine. Nobody's trying to deny you that. But you're not a law unto yourself. You have Mitch McConnell on the other side, on the Republican side, acting as he is a law unto himself. And the people are there saying, what the hell is going on here? How could you make such a stupid decision? Why aren't you acting on such and such with some degree of urgency? And it was like pushing molasses uphill with a rake to get anything done in this country that came even close to sensible, logical legislating. And you have all these people packing Congress, a whole bunch of lawyers and experts who are elected to these offices, and yet we can't get anything done. And the country is going down the toilet. And everybody could see it, and everybody is feeling it, except that they've taken care of. They've taken care of themselves. They have nice pensions. They draw fat salaries. And they are in good shape. No matter how the wind blows, they're in good shape. And doing, I mean, what they call legislation, when you look at it, it's a meanness of spirit. Let's make these people suffer. Let's pile more and more fees on them and make them responsible for all kinds of things while we suck out the money and give it to our friends, take some for ourselves, and we think this is the best way to run a country. Racism is at its peak. We have corruption at all levels. Corruption. But they see it as entitlement. I'm entitled to steal money. I was smart enough to win this office. I'm entitled to steal the money. I'm entitled to do whatever it is I want to do. And so we had a precipitous fall
in what people generally perceive as the expected behavior of a government. It went straight to hell. Everybody's on the take. And everybody's trying to see how they can make people suffer. This president, who knows nothing about suffering, was taking great joy in making people suffer. His administration, every day there's a new rule that would cost working people even more money. They don't see that. They're doing quite well. So let's talk about the role of Nancy Pelosi here, because I think it's important to understand. We are the people, that blob of humanity that they call the people. We are the people. It's too complicated for our puny little minds to understand, you see. And what we have to do is to look for liberation or look for some kind of hope from people who have installed themselves or have been installed themselves or ensconced in government. And they're the ones making the decisions. Whether you pay 5 cents a pound more for flour, or whether you're going to attack a country, or whether there's going to be a new tax for your dog. And at least I felt it, life began to feel onerous, like it was a job just to wake up and try to go about your business. All these things now, new things coming your way and descending on you, and you can't get away from them because they overpower you, and then they impose all kinds of extras on you. You gotta not just pay this, but you got to pay this 3 times what you should actually be paying. There's no sense of joy in this country, not even for the small things people used to look forward to. In the summertime, you take your little family and you go on camping trips, and you go to see grandma up in Virginia somewhere, and life was simple, much simpler than it is now. But these people who are running things, they're not qualified to run anything. Look at the president. His businesses have gone belly up with alarming regularity. Can't run a business. I mean, how do you lose money owning a casino? How does that lose money? You're putting people in jobs they have no aptitude in or experience in, and there's a downward spiral. And they take everybody with them because they have the power to do so. But okay, Nancy Pelosi, people have been asking this woman, look, you can see that we're in trouble. The administration is in trouble. Our people are in trouble. This is a Democratic Party, which itself is in trouble. People are fed up with the foibles and the mistakes that the party was making. The party is moving away from its base. The party is not a populist party anymore. It is into money. It is not looking out for the average person anymore. It has openly adopted the attitude that, look, you're responsible for whatever happens to you and your family. You're responsible. Things that in every modern society that concern every modern society, how healthy are its people? How educated are they? Are these systems working appropriately? Are they producing the kinds of results that we want? The Democratic Party seemed unconcerned about it. They're talking about other things, you know, business and not quality of life. So she has single-handedly held up what her own party was asking for, which is, let's move. We have enough evidence that this president is not the guy. He's not good for the country. He's not good for our party. He has committed many wrongs. He doesn't care. In fact, he takes pride in humiliating us, in doing things to deliberately taunt us, saying, look what I'm doing, and you can't do a damn thing about it. And then he's proven to be right. Because the party doesn't have enough guts to function as a party anymore. They are very concerned about getting re-elected. They're very concerned about snagging a plum committee assignment. They're very concerned about moving up the ranks, but they're not concerned about the people and what's happening to the people. And we have blocking the path none other than Nancy Pelosi. She's been there since chickens had teeth, and she believes that entitles her to a kind of fiefdom. I'm ruling here. I'm ruling over here. I'm in charge over here. And not even the members of her party could make sense to her about anything. Nobody moves unless she says, we move. Nobody fights in behalf of the people unless she gives, you know, her permission. What is this? Now, it is for these reasons, not these alone, but largely this kind of insanity that I withdrew from politics. And I say it all the time. My decision came in the voting booth. I was in the voting booth about to cast my vote until a lightning bolt struck me and brought me to my senses. And I couldn't help but feel, you know, this is all a joke. This is a sinister joke. This party isn't fighting for the people. This party isn't taking to heart the yawning gaps between rich and poor in this country. It isn't even talking about it. It's talking about who will get elected. Even now, as they're about to stage the fourth and final so-called debate. Nobody's talking about the people and what their needs are, what the party has got to do to rise to the challenge, and challenges, I should say, that people are facing every day, looking to this party for leadership and to set a standard that rejuvenates in people something to believe in. Not this party. Those are bygone days. The talk is who will win. There is no unanimity of effort here. It's who's getting money from this group and who's getting money from that group, and that's where their orders come from. I was in the voting booth, I remind you. I was in the voting booth. And I said, I cannot do this ever again. I can't do it. I cannot insult myself this way. I have to make up reasons why the Democratic Party deserves my support. It doesn't. It's not working hard enough for that prize. It is as crooked, as backward, as any other party out there. It has come down several pegs. I mean, how are you going to tell me? You have a multi-billion dollar project. We want you to approve with your vote. And there are exactly four lines of copy in which you believe, and you want me to believe, that that is sufficient to describe this project. And I'm supposed to vote yes or no. What, do you think I'm an idiot? I'm not going to be part of that. You're spitting in my face, underestimating my intelligence. In fact, you don't care about my intelligence, you just care about the vote. And that's what we've come to. And now we have the real McCoy. He is not hiding anything. He's not hiding his racism. He's not hiding his lack of social graces and good manners. He's not hiding his predatory nature. He's not hiding anything. He's not hiding the fact that he is the vanguard for the return of a truly racist society. He's not hiding any of it. And he's getting away with it. Because the Democratic Party suddenly can't figure out its moral compass, whether it even has one. And in this year, he signaled from the word go, this is what it's going to be. You can be assured of it. It could only get worse, more intense. But my aim is to make this country white again. Yes. A hard, nasty, virulent attitude. That's me. I will make it the anthem of my political base, and they will love me for it, and they'll support me. Meanwhile, we have people in the Democratic Party, a few of them, many of them actually, saying, we have to step up. We've got to do something different. We've got to talk to the people and their interests and their needs. We failed them, and we have to bounce back. The only way to do it is to reconnect. But within the party, you have a plantation system, and Nancy Pelosi sits in the big old plantation house. And if she says go, you go. She says don't go, you can't go. And all these grown men, supported by all these people all over the country, men and women alike, they sit and wait for instructions. And that's what happened. I've already talked about the fact that this situation that has developed, where the party is at war with itself, and how could it be different? You have people who are seeing the logic and the merit and the common sense of looking out for themselves. After all, that's what we learned. That's what we were taught. We don't have any extra energy to spend on advocating for our constituencies. They'll have to wait. We're fighting for ourselves. We're close to retirement. We've been here for a while. And things are not going to get any better anytime soon. So we'll take what we can get and get out. So I wondered, what is your view? There's great jubilation and joy in the land that Ms. Pelosi has finally come to see reason, and she's going to permit, she's going to actually allow people to do their jobs. We'll take this break and dive right into your questions and comments at 888-874-4888, right after this. Darkness, darkness, none amongst them. It's the day that brings my heaven. I have passed the edge of sadness. Now I have listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about the emptiness inside of us as a nation that at least one could reasonably say had higher hopes about our political system and what it should have delivered by now. We saw the open impediments. Just block it. Block the people from addressing their issues. Block their representatives from articulating their constituencies' wants and needs. Because it's about me. I have a particular plan and a particular way of seeing the world, just like Donald Trump, by the way. There's no difference here in terms of that attitude. And what I say goes. Why? Because I'm the boss. And if something is not to benefit me, let's not pursue it. We will not pursue it. And even now, as permission is granted for the Democratic Party, those in the party who broke away and decided, look, we've got to do something. We can't just sit on our hands and wait for things to happen on their own. There still is this idea that they broke protocol. They disobeyed. Even though it is so clear where Nancy Pelosi principally is responsible for the Democratic Party losing its way. And it has happened so many times in so many situations, and yet it has been tolerated this long. And she still enjoys a great deal of, what should I say? She's still seen as a benevolent person who wants the best for everyone. No, that's not the way she has run this party. And I beg to differ. But in any event, here we are now at the point in which Nancy Pelosi has said, okay, let's pursue this thing with Donald Trump and his administration. But you would notice it's very limited, and it's limited to phone calls between Trump and the Ukraine government. I just don't get any of this at all. It's so disappointing. It is such a dark hour for the Democrats. I know, you wouldn't think that. But it is a dark hour. It has been the dark hour for at least 2 years, in which the party, so fractured and abandoned its base, refused to fight for what their constituents so badly needed and told them that they needed it. Instead, they're concerned about winning elections and getting a new assignment and making a little bit more money and enjoying greater prestige. Well, you see where that has led us. It has led us to this day. And still, the opposition, Donald Trump and his Republican Party, they're not the least bit concerned. They maintain exactly their stance, their political history. They're doing their Republican thing. They're not getting all upset about what's going on. They're not. They're just fine with what's going on. But we can't see a cogent, sensible response because the Democratic Party seems to have lost its soul. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. Hope you're feeling
Hello.
Well today.
Thank you. Yes. I hope you're doing all right, too.
I'm doing okay. Hope the rest of the audience is doing well also.
Thank you.
I don't think the Democratic Party is in a disarray or in a problem. Everything is going according to the plan. They're doing great. Everything that they're doing, they got us convinced. And it doesn't matter if something's true or false. If you can convince somebody that something's true or something's false, that's all that matters. The truth no longer matters. So we're guinea pigs. We're fools. I can't believe people are actually believing that a guy like Donald Trump could become the president of the United States. Legitimately, and it's not all set up this way. It's a global thing. You know, it's not just United States, 16 other nations all involved in this thing. The New World Order. We've been told that a long time ago by George Bush Sr. The New World Order is locked in. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the same thing. We keep thinking they're different. And the Democratic Party is going to save us by getting rid of Donald Trump. That's just fantasy. That's a fairy tale. And we keep believing in these fairy tales. So what are we going to do? I don't know. I'm at the edge of the world here. I'm falling off the edge. Because my fellow human beings that are good people are believing in this nonsense. So what are we going to do, Yatrice?
I asked you first. it's a very bad time to be in, and yet it is rife with potential and possibilities to turn things around, dramatically turn things around, but not the way this is going. And we are reluctant to criticize. Many of us, we're reluctant to criticize the Democratic Party. They have blown so many important opportunities to turn things around. But this one, this most recent one, is just utterly ridiculous that the party has waited this long to make a move. When people were begging, pleading with them, do something. And there were so many things that they could have done, but they didn't do. Why? Because Nancy Pelosi does not approve of it. That's ridiculous.
Yes, but that's part of their plan. That's why it's working out so perfect for them. And Donald Trump can spout off all he wants and say all these knee-jerk reaction things because he knows in the end it's all going to be okay for him. But he's a captured person. He's not a free person. He's a captured. He's a puppet for the system. You brought up a point. How do you lose money in a casino? Yeah, it's funny when you think about it. How do you lose money? How do you lose money in a casino? You build a casino, you build hotels, you hire all these people to work in it. You got all the machinery, the slot machines and all the things. But if nobody comes to bet, then you're not going to make no money and you're going to lose money. So he was convinced that they were going to make Jersey Shore, what do they call it? The place, the casino?
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, they were going to make Atlantic City the new gambling mecca that it used to be in the old days. They were going to, but nobody has money to go gamble. If they got money to go gamble, they're going to go to Vegas or they're going to go up to Connecticut. There's nice casinos there. They're not going to go to Dumpy. You go to Dumpy Atlantic City, you got casinos and hotels, and around the whole area is blight. Who wants to go there to gamble? So you go there, and there's nobody in there. I've been there. There's nobody in there. I don't know how they stay in business. But that's how you lose money owning a casino. It's not so funny. It's truth. And that's he was convinced that it was going to be the new mecca by important people that he thought was his friends. So he invested all his money, and he went broke. So now he has to work for the system and do what he's told to do and say. And we're buying it. We think he's crazy. We think he's psychologically unfit, but it's all an act. And we don't want to get that to our heads. We're in a big thing here, and it's called genocide on the good people of the world. So, you know, I could go on and on. It'd take me hours to explain it all. Every facet in life, if you think about it, is geared towards genocide. You know, the food that we were told to eat back in the 50s.
But you're 60s. Straying off the point. I'm trying straying. To get you to stay with the issue. Where are we and what are we to do?
What are we to do? We have to take care of ourselves as individuals, as groups. We have to make sure we eat properly. Stop doing what they're telling us to do. Stop paying. I'm thinking about not listening to your show for a month, not listening to the radio, not listen. I don't have a TV, not putting on a computer, and do it for a whole month, and then after, call in and see, what did I miss for this whole month? You didn't miss nothing, E, because nothing really happened. Judges get appointed. It's all done under the carpet there. We don't hear about important things. We're hearing about just nonsense. Nancy Pelosi gets her surgery on her face done whenever she needs some to make her look a little younger, and that's her reward for her part that she's playing. Donald Trump gets to be rich and famous. You know, it's actually a liability to be famous nowadays, because all you are is a product to the system, and they'll use you and use you until you finally object, and then the next day they find out that you committed suicide. This is the world we're living in, and it's insane, and they don't care, even if we know it.
Well, thank you for calling in and getting us started today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
I want to start off by saying that the people have no party. And the Democrats and the Republicans are part of the same unit. And they're not operating in any way in the interests of the people, the mass of people I'm talking about, not the 1%. So people have to get it through their head that even though you have election maps that show where the constituents for every one of these crooks that are sitting in the legislative branch, they are not the constituents of those people in those seats. The ruling class are the people who are the real constituents. So to think that the Congress is going to operate in the interests of the people who live here is madness. That does not exist. Whether you're talking about Democrat or Republican. So people have to kind of get that through their head in the first place. They also have to get in their head that Nancy Pelosi at first, she was not for this impeachment process, but maybe it's public relations, or she saw which way the wind was blowing, and she finally agreed to go along with some of the Congress and take the time to give it a green light. But the point is this. You know, I feel that people need to pick their battles. That's the way I operate. I pick my battles. And having this impeachment, so-called investigation, is interesting. But essentially, with the way the Constitution that we have that was written by slaveholders, you know, it's not going to really change anything. And as far as I'm concerned with impeachment, I can think of many of the so-called presidents who are in the chief executive position in the country that should have been impeached. I mean, the flack of them. So, you know, it's using time up, having people do stuff, getting the attention by having impeachment hearings and whatnot, and it's not really changing the condition of the people who live here. So I'm not a big fan of taking energy and putting into something that essentially is not going to go anywhere or change anything for the benefit of the people, and it's just operating a legislative branch in the position of being serving the interests of those who rule. So people have to get it through their head that even if he was impeached, it's not really changing anything, no matter how odious his style of behavior. He's still serving the interests of the ruling class, making them richer and richer, and the people poorer and poorer. And the idea of the style that we're living is just to do that for those people who call themselves capitalists and run the corporations. Their idea is the way to get rich is to make everyone poor, and that makes them rich. So, you know, that's the way I feel about this whole process of impeachment. All the attention is on it, and all the things that would benefit the people are just ignored. You're going to have impeachment hearings, and how about the hearings of dealing with something that it benefits the interests of the mass of people that live here? How about some hearings on those things that on vital military industrial security complex or the secret police that we have here? We have all these secret police organizations like the FBI and CIA. That's all secret police. How about some investigation on that? I'm not worried about impeachment because the point is that doesn't really change the system that we have, that is a system where the constituents are the ruling class and the people at the base, and they are dupes if they feel that they are really the constituents of that group that sits in the Congress at all levels. So that's what I think about it. And so I'm not terribly concerned with this. I'm not going to spend my energy worrying about the thing. We need to have a strategy of how we can change things around that doesn't have to do with just the so-called impeachment of Mr. Trump.
What would such a strategy be?
Well, we'd have to basically get the people into the streets all over in terms of a national strike and just disrupt the whole place, the whole country, enough to get some attention. Now, we don't want to talk about violence because the instruments of violence are in the hands of the ruling class. They have the police, they have the army, they have all the forces that have the military that can mow down the people, and they don't have any problems with doing that. So it doesn't have to be or shouldn't be a physical attack. But things have to be disrupted so that the ruling class who operate all the corporations are going to suffer. And if they suffer, they may have to acquiesce and make some changes, just like they did during the Great Depression. Roosevelt brought them to do some things that they didn't want to do. So that's the way that it worked there. So I feel that we have to do that rather than worrying about things that are not going anywhere and are wasting energy. You must choose your battles. Choose your battles. And I don't think just having the type of thing that Nancy Pelosi is going with now, with the impeachment hearings, maybe is going to really solve the needs of the people who live here.
Okay. Well, thank you. We have to study this moment just the same. And we study it in a kind of scientific and analytical way, because at this moment, we really are facing the essential issue of what is the role of the citizen, what is the role of government, what is this thing we call democracy? Do we have it? Does it exist? When you see these formations, and you see it, we've seen it from day one in Donald Trump, but Trump is the latest manifestation of it. I can do whatever I want to do. And you'll just have to figure out how to solve your own problem, including the new ones that I create. That's your problem. It's not my problem. What is Congress going to do? What can Congress do except, you know, move symbolically to punish an errant president? Here's a president, he's not doing what we elected him to do, and worse, he's committing crimes. He is disobeying the Constitution and all of that. But does that realign, and this is going to David's point, does that realign the power equation in this country to include you as a beneficiary of it? That this system is also looking out for you, even as it prosecutes an errant president, does it increase your power as a citizen? Does it play fair with you, give you an even break? I don't think so. And I still see the old, you know, the old axiom working, where even in the political hierarchy, you have clearly the Pelosi's of the world calling the shots, and everybody else has to listen and do as she says. That is not democratic. So we still should study very carefully, because the evidence is right before us. You pick it apart and you see. It's the same system. It is requiring us to make adjustments. It is requiring us to accommodate their interests. But it has no intention. This is not meant to advance the cause of the masses of people looking for a just government, looking for a better shot. As a group, we should be living better. This is why we study these things, because it unfolds before your eyes, and nobody could deny what they actually see. They can't deny it. So we will continue to follow this, but I want to thank you so much for your calls today and your input. And I really want to encourage you to study what is unfolding. It is meant to teach us all a lesson. What is that lesson? Well, we don't know yet, because we haven't studied it yet. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.